Good morning. Welcome to the KRFY Morning Show for Tuesday, June 2nd. I'm your host, Chris Bessler. I'm in the studio here today with my co-host.
At Susie Prez. It's really nice to be here. Chris, it's nice to see you over on the other side of the broadcast board.
I'm running the soundboard today, folks, so please give me some slack if we have, 10 minutes of dead air or something like that.
Glitches.
Small glitches. But I think we'll make it. We have a great morning show for you today. The subject is going to be, the Idaho Conservation League, as well as the Pendre Bay Trail Fun Run that's coming up this Saturday. And we have in the studio with us.
Sunday, actually. Yeah.
And that's Nancy Dooley.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Nancy, always
thanks
nice.
Thanks for coming, Nancy. Before we get into what ICL is up to and the Bay Trail Fun Run, let's talk about the weather, because the weather is happening.
It always is. So from the National Weather Service, we have currently 54 degrees. And as we all know, it's raining out there. We have a 90% chance of showers with thunderstorms, also possible afternoon. High today near 62. South winds 3 to 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation, like I said, is 90%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. Except higher amounts possible if it's thunderstorms. Tonight, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm before midnight. Then a chance of showers. Cloudy with a low around 50 tonight. Winds 7 miles per hour, becoming west in the evening. Let's see, Wednesday through, Wednesday 60% chance of showers. High 67, low Wednesday night 49. And then chance of showers tapering off a little bit on Thursday to about 30%. And then Friday, there's the sunshine coming back on Friday. And Nancy will be glad to hear about this. For the Bay Trail Fun Run, it looks like we have sunshine.
That would be the third year in a row if it is.
That's what they're saying. High near 88, so you know what that means. Hydrate.
Right. Bring lots of water. Drink lots of water.
And actually, yesterday they were predicting severe thunder showers. I don't think that ever came to pass, but we did get a good shot of rain last night. So there is a possibility that that might still develop, and there might be some flooding, I suppose. But the rain, I think, is good for us. Here's what else is going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 4:49 a.m. Sunset will be at 8:39 p.m., and we've lost about 12 or 14 minutes. We've gained 12 or 14 minutes of daylight in the past week as we're getting closer to the summer solstice. The days are still getting longer. That'll keep going until June 21st when the solstice comes. The lake level is at 2060.93. It's come up a little less than a foot in the past week, and they're projecting it to be near full pool in just the next week at 2062.2. We'll see. That's going to be varied a bit as they keep an eye on what's coming down from the snowpack into the lake. The Moye River is running at 1180 CFS. It's still good whitewater for people doing river trips on the Moye. It's been consistently there the past week. And what else has been going on around town?
Well, I just wanted to say it's really nice to have Nancy and the Idaho Conservation League here. And to mention that you were one of seven sponsors, co-sponsors of last Friday's KRFY benefit concert at the Panada. And I saw you there, Nancy. Did you have a good time?
Oh, yes. It sure was a very fun night. That bluegrass is my favorite type of music, actually. And so it was really great to get some of that here in town. Those are great bands, and it's a great program.
Yeah, it turned out really well, and we want to thank all of our co-sponsors for that event, so thank you.
Yeah, great. Glad to do it, and not in return, but KRFY also is a sponsor of the Bay Trail Fun Run that's coming up this Sunday, like you mentioned, and as are many other businesses that we really want to appreciate and thank, that we wouldn't be able to do what we do without so much great support from our community.
Our amazing supportive community.
Yeah.
Speaking of amazing supportive events, over the weekend, the Railroad Depot was they had the grand opening for it, and they had a great turnout for that, I guess. Did anybody here make it?
I didn't make it, no.
Yeah, they looked like they had well over 100 people.
Oh, that's great.
And there were a lot of enthusiasm for the renovations that have taken place with the Railroad Depot.
I want to check it out. I haven't seen it yet.
You know what? I haven't been over there yet either. Susie, you been over there?
You know, I walked over there before the opening, and it was pretty much done. It was beautiful. I take the train quite often, at least once a year, and I like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great that we did that as a community, you know, preserve that.
And it really was a community coming together. There was a core group of individuals who were really advocating that the depot be renovated, be saved, because at one point BNSF was looking at actually removing it entirely and moving the train station or the train stop for us well out of town, I think to the Sagal area or possibly at the base of Schweitzer. There's some talk about it going either direction. The train stop would have been a little bus stop sort of shelter. but there were some folks that rallied to say, hey, this is a historic building, and it's actually the oldest depot left on the northern tier of the train run across the whole U.S. So if not the oldest, it's one of the very few oldest. So it has a lot of history behind it.
And it's so iconic for Sandpoint. I mean, we're a train town.
Yeah,
we have to keep our depot for sure.
It's all about the trains,
right?
So we're in the studio here today with Nancy Dooley. She's with the Idaho Conservation League. She's one of the prime organizers for the Bay Trail Fun Run, and we're going to be talking about that because it's a big thing coming up on Sunday, the 5 and 10K run. But Nancy, first, let's check in on what ICL is up to. That's Idaho Conservation League.
Right, Idaho Conservation League. We're a statewide conservation group. We have an office here in Sandpoint. We also have one in Ketchum and Boise. And there's 18 of us working around the state to protect Idaho's clean water, clean air, and those lands that we all love to play in. And right now, we've got this big event coming up that we're co-sponsoring with Friends of the Ponderay Bay Trail and Trinity at City Beach Restaurant. That's the Bay Trail Fun Run this Sunday, which registration is still open. And you can do that from our website or the Friends website. Our website is www.idahoconservation.org, and then the Friends website is pobtrails.org. So you can go to either one of those, find out more about the run, and then sign up online until Friday. Around this area, ICL is working on a number of issues, one of those being the coal and oil train transport issue. I think you had Susan Drumheller in here a week or two ago talking about some of that. And we do have a very interesting event coming up for folks that want to learn more about that. We're having a Sandpoint Oil Train Forum at the Hartwood Center on June 24th. That's a Wednesday evening at 5:30. And it'll be a panel discussion. So folks can come down and hear from several different experts about what's happening with the oil trains transporting through the Northwest. One in particular person that's of highlight for that night is Eric DePlace. He's probably the leading expert on train transport through the Northwest. And so he's going to give a rundown about what that means to Sandpoint and our community. And he's from the Sightline Institute, Eric DePlace. There also will be a few other panelists. Some of them have not confirmed, so probably won't go into all the details about who will be there, but we're trying to have a railroad engineer from there. There'll be probably the fire chief will be on talking about our evacuation and what we would do in case of an emergency, and a couple other people. And we're hosting that with Ponderay Waterkeeper.
So, Nancy, what would you say the goal is with activity that's taking place around the oil trains coming through town? Is it to stop the oil trains? Is that a feasible thing?
Well, if you're looking at the global impact of fossil fuels, then the answer would be yes. Climate change would needs us to help to slow climate change. We need to try to keep more fossil fuels in the ground. But our biggest focus right now is the trains are already coming through Sandpoint, and so we're focused on safety. We're trying to figure out what is the minimum that our community needs to be prepared for a problem if one of these oil trains does derail. And as you keep hearing in the news, it's happening.
It's happening.
It's not a rare occasion.
There seem to be at least a couple a year. Right. And they frequently have tragic consequences.
So there are certain things that can happen. Those trains can be upgraded. The cargo trains can be upgraded to a higher, thicker type of material that has been mandated but is not in effect yet. And so there's lots of trains out there that aren't as safe as could be. That's one thing. Also, making sure there's always two engineers on the trains. There's been some talk of reducing the number of personnel. The engineers themselves say they want to always have two. And then slowing speeds through communities.
I have a question. Sure, we want to make sure we're ready if there's a problem. And you just mentioned, let's see if we can keep it safer so we don't have a problem by having safer cars, thicker walls, more safety levers on them, two engineers. Where is this oil going? Why are we at risk? Who are we at risk for? We're not getting this oil, so...
No, we're that's the problem with the Sandpoint area. We're sort of the funnel, we're called the funnel for trains, and we don't reap any benefits from it. We just are the road that it passes through. And so it's going to out to different ports to be exported out. And so it's there's really no benefit to Idaho or through Montana, Western Montana or Eastern Washington. But there is much impact. And so we feel that we need to have a seat at the table in discussing those impacts, because with the increase of these trains, we're going to see delays at crossings. We're going to see increased diesel fuels when trains are idling. There's talk of building a second bridge, railroad bridge here in Sandpoint over the lake. There's definitely a reason we all need to be informed and understand the impacts.
Yeah. Well, it's good work that you're doing. I think that you and possibly someone from the Waterkeepers are scheduled to come in on the 23rd of June.
Right. That's going to be Susan Drumheller. This is her main issue that she's working on here in Sandpoint. She's my colleague at ICL. And she's going to come in and talk to you about it with probably Shannon from like Ponderay Waterkeeper. Mm-hmm. And then folks can go to that event on July 24th at the Hartwood Center and learn much more.
I'm sure that on your website you have quite a bit of information, too, to keep people informed.
Right.
You have a great newsletter, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Uh-huh. Yeah, yes. That's one thing we try to do is update our blogs daily. So there'll be a different issue on there just about every day that you can check out. And those have links to longer stories. So if you're interested at all in that issue, you'll find multiple articles on our website about it and some take actions as well, so that we'll inform you, but we also give you something to do to help make a difference.
A lot of good work that ICL is doing. I know that a couple weeks ago, you had a show or a program at the community hall, and you had a fellow in, you remember that?
Yeah, I was wondering where you were going with that. So we've done a lot of things lately. Yes, yes.
It was very interesting.
And what was the topic there?
That was coal trains, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, right. We've been really focused on this train issue lately, and there's a lot of work ahead as regards to that. So
I've seen some rumors around the internet of potential kayaktivism.
Oh, right.
Here in Sandpoint. Now, I guess that word was kind of coined for what went on in Seattle, where the whole bunch of kayakers came out to oppose I think they're moving some heavy equipment up to Alaska for oil extraction.
Right.
Is anything going to happen along those lines here?
There was some talk of that, but it's, it takes a lot of effort to get people to come out to do something like that. And sometimes I think maybe that effort could be better spent actually at your computer, writing a letter to someone that could hear that. I mean, there's times for that. I think they got a lot of play out of that demonstration
in Seattle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Doing it here over the Long Bridge, it might be harder to have an impact. So we've discussed it. We've gone back and forth about it. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to get out in our kayaks, as you know, around here for enjoyable reasons, too. But I think at this moment, we haven't moved forward to plan any kind of kayaktivism. I like the name, though.
I think the best thing we can do is stay in touch with ICL and Lake Ponderay Waterkeeper to find out what the next step is, what we can do, actually.
Right. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because besides this idea of the kayaktivism, we will have several take actions coming up. And that's part of this forum, is that we really want to educate folks, because there's going to be an important hearing down in Spokane. And so the folks that come to this forum on June 24th will then be able to go down to that hearing. The date hasn't been set yet, so I can't tell you about it. But we're trying to arrange some transportation for folks to go down there and give comments. And so we're going to have comment talking points for people to use. There'll be opportunities to sign petitions, to write some letters with some wording that we can help you with. So yeah, if you go to our website, you'll stay apprised and all that, and also come to our forum.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to bring up a second subject that I think has been worked on a little bit. And that is the designation of the Scotchman Peaks roadless area as wilderness.
Yeah, we've been working on it a lot.
And there's been a delegation that went to D.C. just last week, I believe.
That's right. Brad Smith from our office and Phil Huff, the executive director of Scotchman's, as well as Kate McAllister from the chamber, went out to D.C. and spent about 5 days meeting with a whole bunch of different legislators and staffers, and also attended a hearing on wilderness for the Boulder White Clouds while they were there. And during that hearing, after meeting with Senator Risch and other representatives, he actually brought up at that wilderness hearing for Boulder White Clouds that Scotchman's is the next one on the slate.
Senator Risch?
Yeah.
No kidding.
So that was...
So he's a supporter?
Yes. Yeah. So that's a really big deal.
Yeah. I'd say that is a pretty big deal. It's rare to get the Idaho congregational delegation in favor of wilderness in Idaho. At least it has been historically.
Right. Yeah. Yes. It's been a long, long road. This Boulder White Clouds has been going on for 20 years.
Or more.
And it's come up twice in the Congress, and then, by a thread did not pass, not because of the vote, but didn't move forward. You know, it's a complicated process getting it up to vote. So we're hoping that this one will go through, and if not, we are also working very hard on a national monument status for the Boulder White Clouds, which is an area, you know, around Haley area.
So a national monument status would help protect it.
Right, and that would be designated by the president. The administration would do that.
That doesn't require the Congress to approve. The
no.
President can take that action unilaterally. Is he disposed to do so?
Yes, definitely. And the administration's been watching closely this wilderness bill, and if it doesn't go through, I think they're opposed to take action this other way. I mean, we're not certain at this point, but everyone's waiting to see how this one does.
Mm-hmm. And that's for the Boulder White Cloud. So
right.
What are the prospects that the Scotchman Peaks proposed wilderness could get in the pipeline?
Well, that was why they went to D.C., because it is definitely looking like it's getting closer. I mean, it's been this perfect grassroots effort to try to get Scotchman's designated. And so they're doing the organization, the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and ICL have been working collaboratively to really be very thorough in everything that they're doing. They keep meeting with the different senators from Montana and Idaho. And when they say, well, we really would like you to do this, we'd like you to do this, we've done it all. The next step is probably to have a public hearing. And they'll meet with some of the delegates or staffers this summer and help hopefully plan a public hearing in this area in the fall.
Now, the wilderness bill has to be approved by both houses of Congress.
Right.
So where's Raul Labrador, our congressman, on this issue?
He hasn't been opposed to it, but he hasn't stepped on to
say he's in favor.
Right.
Okay. And how about because the proposed wilderness area actually straddles the state line, what's the position of the Montana congressional delegation?
You know, I'm not as versed in that as Phil would be, or even okay. Brad. They're really the ones that have been working on this issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that they've met with them and they've been in favor of it. And now it just requires someone to actually adopt it and take it to the House.
To be the sponsor.
To be the sponsor. Yep. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it's probably time for a musical interlude here.
And we do have a song. I'm not sure which one you have up, but
it's Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Okay. And we have this song because we're going to move over to start talking about the Bay Trail Fun Run that's coming up this Sunday, sponsored by Idaho Conservation League and others. And so this is a runner's song.
This will get you motivated for it, that's for sure.
Runners love to hear when they're coming across, especially marathon runners.
Yeah.
When they're coming across.
This is the song that was in Rocky, right?
Right.
As he's running up the steps in Philadelphia.
We can all sing along with it when you play it.
Okay, so here we go. This is Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of
And that was Survivor, Eye of the Tiger. It's a timely song for us because we're going to be talking about the Bay Trail Fun Run. We're in the studio now with Nancy Dooley. She is with the
Idaho Conservation League.
The Idaho Conservation League, and she's an organizer of the Bay Trail Fun Run. And, by the way, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Nancy, before we dive into the Bay Trail Fun Run, we were talking about some subjects, other stuff that ICL is working on.
Right.
And you mentioned that it's time to become bear aware if you're out
in the
backcountry.
We've got an event coming up to help you learn a little bit more about bears and specifically how to use bear spray. I think we all, lots of us carry bear spray when we go out into areas where we know there's bears around, but I actually have never sprayed my bear spray, and though it seems to be logical of what you do, you pull the safety and spray. There's definite techniques to it, and so we're teaming up with the Forest Service. We've got some practice inert canisters that are purchasing, and then we're going to practice using them. So I'm really excited about it. I think it'll be a really worthwhile event. We're going to have it on July 2nd, right before the big weekend. And it's going to be out the Forest Service building out on Ontario.
On July 2nd.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right now the bears are out and they've come out of hibernation, obviously, in the high country, especially since we've had such a short winter.
Right.
Have you been hearing anything from people in the backcountry seeing bears?
You know, I haven't heard too much lately. I've live up on Pine Street and there's a mama bear and three cubs that it's on my running loop. I keep running, trying not to run into. Right. Right. But you need to be aware that they have come out, they're roaming around, they're eating, and they don't want to be scared by you. So always making noise in the woods when you're hiking is a good idea. And making sure you respect them and any other wildlife you see.
And in general, a black bear will immediately retreat. Right. It's the grizzly bear that you're really being very aware of.
Right. Yeah. And really the black bear is the only time you have a problem is if you somehow get between maybe the mom bear and the cub, and then that can cause some worry and anxiety with the mama bear.
So when you're running the loop and you know there's a mom and cubs out there, are you carrying bear spray with you?
I do. I do carry it. And I also usually have I'm singing or talking as I'm going along to try to make them aware that I'm coming. And always going with pairs is the right way to do it, too, not to run alone.
So I bought some bear spray probably 10 years ago. Is it still good?
There is an expiration date on there, so yeah. Check it out. Yes, they don't last forever. And that is a problem that we have, too, right? You've never used it,
yeah,
so it's still good.
And it's, you know, I think it was like $30. And right. It's like,
they're not cheap.
Should I take my chances? This will still work.
Yeah.
And I've actually read some accounts where people... You know, they pull it out and it's an old thing and they spray it and it just kind of dribbles
out. Right. There's no more oomph left to get it out.
Yeah,
right. No,
yeah.
they definitely, you need to cull those and get new ones.
Well, that's great. And it's going to be a bear spray
event.
Seminar.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's part of our ICL after hours events where we try to do something at least every month to inform the public about different issues that are going on.
And, you know, it really makes sense that you should actually practice. Nobody wants to practice because they don't want to use the stuff up.
Right. And it's, yeah, you don't want to spray it in your neighborhood or anything. It's really very toxic.
Pretty nasty.
Right.
So, okay, big event happening.
So, right, the other big thing that's happening that we really want people to know about and to sign up and participate in is this great community event, the Bay Trail Fun Run, which is happening this Sunday, 9 a.m. down at City Beach right in front of the Edgewater. And this is our third year doing the Bay Trail Run. As you guys know, Chris is always out there taking pictures. You're going to be down there this year?
I actually walk the trail, too,
Oh, you do, too, right.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're not just the photographer.
I'm walking to get pictures, but I managed to do the whole 5K course. So
right on.
Yeah.
Good. Right, and so it is a 5K and a 10K. You have your choice of either distance, and it goes out the Pendre Bay Trail, also known as Bum Jungle or Black Rock Trail.
Formerly known as Bum Jungle.
That's right. It goes out that trail and back for those just doing the 5K, and then the 10K folks will then continue on and on the Sand Creek Trail. So you get both lakefront and creekside beautiful trails. It's a really stunning course to be a part of. And then you come back and we'll have awards. We've got awards for every age group from age 8 to 80. So there's a good chance that even though you didn't realize it, you might get something. Trinity is also going to have some coupons for lunch at the restaurant. You can stick around and have that. We'll have some live music. It'll be a festive little affair. And all the proceeds go to help protect the Pend Oreille Bay Trail, improve and expand it. There's been a lot of work lately on the planning stage between the Friends of the Pend Oreille Bay Trail and Idaho Conservation League to how to create a master and interpretive plan for the Pend Oreille Bay Trail and to provide connectivity to other county trails. And so we have acquired some funding to bring in the Trust for Public Land as well as a private consultant to help with both of those. And we've also given money to the city of Pend Oreille to help with their planning for their parks and open space. So there's been a lot happening since that trail, the first fundraising campaign was completed. If you remember, last year we were able to open the trail to the public for the whole mile and a half trail that we have. The cities of Sandpoint and Pend Oreille helped raise funds to purchase the trail, and with help from our organization, the Friends of the Pend Oreille Bay Trail, with ICL support.
That's right. Yeah, the Friends of the Pend Oreille Bay Trail actually raised enough money to buy a chunk of the trail themselves.
Well, we gave our money to the city of Pend Oreille, which made the purchase. So okay. The cities own the property, and that makes it open to the public forever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's more things in the future coming up that you'd like to complete and work on.
Right. Some of the future plans that this Bay Trail Fun Run will help fund will doing some interpretive signage along the trail. You know, it's just a super rich history there from Native Americans using it for fishing and hunting grounds to the railroad coming through and using it, the lumber industry. It's be very interesting. The preliminary interpretive signs have been stunning, and it'll be quite nice to have some of that out there. It's always going to be a primitive trail. There's no plans to improve it in terms of paving or whatnot. That's really what we've heard from everybody, that everyone wants to leave it that way. We did a survey recently in the fall, asking our community members to fill out a survey about the trail and try to prioritize things that they want to see improved. And one of the biggest things everyone wants is to have access to Pend Oreille. So we'll be working over the next 5 to 10 years to create an underpass under the railroad into the city of Pend Oreille. To give that little city access to the water so they don't have to trespass over the dangerous railroad tracks. So that will require some sort of a federal transportation grant called a Tiger Grant. And so right now we're doing our groundwork to be ready to apply for that, which includes this planning that we're doing.
You said that might be a 5 to 10 year process.
Right. Yes.
Now, isn't there a landowner, though, that also stands between the end of the trail and where the underpass would be?
There's still a couple of private sections that continues as you go east into Kootenai. But right now, preliminary plans look like we'd like to do the underpass before that private property. It makes sense to go into Pend Oreille there for a lot of different reasons, including the topographical reasons with the land. But there is still plans to push the trail eastward towards Kootenai, and Kootenai is creating a museum, and that seems like a natural site to have the other trailhead. So you'd have a trailhead on the east side at the museum in Kootenai, and then the trailhead here at City, you know, near City Beach this past season.
And the plans for the museum is actually, if you were on Highway 200, you would see it just past the Lignetics.
Yeah. Right, mm-hmm. Right. So then the trail could come winding out through there. So we've had a few events at Laughing Dog and whatnot where we had maps up and people could see some of these ideas. You can also go to our website and the Friends website and see that too. And you can peruse some of the questions from the survey and see some of the preliminary ideas. Mm-hmm. So that'll all be coming through eventually. It's a planning takes a little while, but we're really happy to have this private consultant as well as the Trust for Public Land here working for our little community. It's just a boon for us, mm-hmm. for sure.
How's that supported or paid for?
Well, I mentioned that we acquired a grant from a private family foundation out of Wyoming, that helped fund bringing the Trust for Public Land here. And they're doing what's called a green print process, and they're also helping Bonner County complete their conceptual trail plan. So Bonner County's had a conceptual trail plan in the works for a long time, ran out of money to fund it. And so now these guys are here. We've got a wonderful trail mix committee made up of members of the community that are meeting monthly, identifying where there's gaps in our trails and identifying where there are hopeful future trails. So these are all going on the map and will be used for planning by the county and the different cities in the area, as well as the green print process, which has another stakeholders committee meeting, a group of also community-minded individuals throughout Bonner County are coming together to identify areas of land that we rank as high priority to protect, including making sure that there's areas that are economically developable so that we can stay viable in the economic world, but then protect our resources that we want to protect. So it's been great getting all this community input, and then we're going to have some public maps to show people, and then the counties and cities will be able to use those maps for planning.
Mm-hmm.
All for free. So this little trail is more than just your good place to walk your dog. You know, it's been leveraged to create a lot more things happening in our county.
So let's talk about walking your dog on the Ponderay Bay Trail.
Yes. Every day except for Sunday morning, right at 9 a.m. Because we're asking people not to bring your dogs down for the race.
Okay, good. It is a place you can walk your dog.
Yeah. And one of the few, right?
How are people doing with cleaning up after their dogs?
Well, we had a poop patrol party this spring after all the snow melted because it was evident that we needed to do that. And I think that was maybe somewhat from people not being as aware, but I think mostly it's because, you know, in the snow, you just don't see it when your dogs go. And so there was melt, and I think that'll probably be a yearly party that anyone who wants to come participate in. It actually was fun. We had coffee and donuts. And but yeah, there's mutt mitts down there that the Friends of the Ponderay has been purchasing. It's a very handy little mutt mitt dispenser there. And then we also have a trash can that we're hauling away with the help of volunteers like Jared Cooper and Michael Spurgeon and others. So yes, you need to clean up after your pets for sure. Mm-hmm. There's no poop fairy out there doing it for you.
Exactly.
Whenever I'm down there walking and I see a dog owner with their dog carrying their little green bag, I always say thank you for being so responsible and cleaning up.
Right. Yeah. Good. You know, good.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. We take our dog down there on occasion, and sometimes, actually, what you'll see is the bag sitting beside the trail.
Right. They've left it there to get on the way back.
That's hopefully. Right, to pick up on the way back. But sometimes people miss it.
Right.
And so there'll be a bag that you can see it's been there for a few days. And my contribution to the public good is to pick those bags
up. Good job, Chris.
Take them in.
Yes.
Good job, actually. Another thing that the fun run is, or another part of what you're trying to do is expand parking at the trailhead.
That was the other top priority. Right now, there's not enough parking there at the trailhead. In order to do that, the way that topography is, there's a culvert or on one side with the fence going into the water treatment plant. So, I mean, through design processes, we were able to get more spots in, just this planter that's been here. So we might just do that to begin with, but we hope to expand it, maybe create a larger parking area. There is no parking along those, not abandoned, but, you know, the foundation of those condos that haven't been built. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to park along there, and there are signs that say no parking, and the city has been towing people once in a while if they park there. So
I just always park down at the beach.
That's what I was going to say. That's right. That's the other thing you can do. You can add a little bit to your walk. It's really pleasant. You can park either at the Windbag or City Beach and walk on down from there.
You know, before some of the development took place on the trailhead, you could actually park kind of on the other side of the water plant, water treatment plant. There is a large area there. Is there any prospect of turning that into parking?
Well, it's tight to try to get you can't get through the water treatment plant for security reasons. They're not going to have that open. And then there's not you have to give the railroad a certain amount of space. So I don't know if that is a viable option at this point, at least. Mm. Yeah. So hopefully expanding what we have will be the key.
Yeah, and parking at City Beach. That's
right.
That's probably the ultimate solution because the trail has become pretty popular.
You could even have a sign down there that said additional parking, you know.
We do.
Back. Oh, good.
At City Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Since I don't park there, I've never noticed the sign.
Right, you should just walk down there anyway, right? Yeah. So you can check all of that out if you come down for the event this Sunday. There's also, I wanted to mention that Sunday at the event, it's not just a walk and a run. It's also a community event, and we're going to have silent auction items there as well that people can bid on. And we're going to display some of those the night before at the Idaho Poor Authority. So we're adding a new twist to the Bay Trail Fun Run this year is we're having a pre-event packet pickup party. You can get your very important pre-race beverage there to get ready for the race at Idaho Poor Authority. And then pick up your race bib and your bag of goodies. Everyone who participates and signs up will get a t-shirt, a water bottle, and a bag of coupons and other assorted goodies. So it's you'll get something for
so
giving.
How many people did you have the first couple of years?
Right around 300. We're expecting about the same this year, if not a few more. So we really we appreciate this chance to talk about it because we want people listening to please sign up and help us spread the word. The more the merrier, for sure.
You know, I ran into a fellow, well, a friend of mine, actually, and we were talking about the Bay Trail. And he has lived here since, I think, 72, and he's never been on the trail.
Oh, did you take him down?
not yet, but I would like to say, you know, kind of those in the 70s and 80s when it was called Bum Jungle, it was right. called that for a reason. It's because the trains would stop there. The trains had hobos on them. Hobos would hop off the train, and they had, like, this glorious waterfront camping available to them.
Yeah.
And so it was actually kind of a pretty rough neighborhood. There were people that were kind of afraid to go there because they might get accosted by these hobos or
right,
these
bums. Right.
Yeah, some of those guys.
Even 20 years ago when I first moved here, there were people still hanging out there. Yeah, I remember that. You right. didn't really want to go down there yeah. by yourself.
That kind of waned because people don't jump trains anymore. They've turned into these container cars.
Right, and not as easy.
There's not box cars to jump into. That's part of what's gone on there. But of course, now that it's developed, I'm sure that I don't know if you ever see people still trying to
there,
camp
there. There have been a couple of people that have camped down there, and there's not camping allowed right now. The cities of Sandpoint and Pendere have not allowed that. But in the plans that we've been talking about, we hope to create a Bum Jungle campground type place.
A walk-in campground.
Right. Uh-huh. That our boat access campground oh. that people can use. And so that's some of the future plans because it is a gorgeous place to recreate right there.
It is very, very nice.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
And we are listening to 88.5 KRFY. We're in the studios with Nancy Dooley from Idaho Conservation League here mostly to talk about the upcoming Sunday Bay Trail Fun Run that starts at 9 o'clock at City Beach. And you can still sign up for this. And we also were talking about Idaho Conservation League and some of the things you're working on. It says celebrate National Trail Days.
That's right. It's National Trails Day is on June 6th this year. And so we've got the trail run going on June 7th right next to it. So we've had that been part of the run is that we're celebrating National Trails Day. This is our newest trail in Sandpoint still. And one of our prettiest, and so definitely deserves to be part of that.
And we should say that this trail is super easy.
Right. It's a trail, but it is flat.
Almost completely flat.
Right, almost completely flat. So that's what people love about it. And we also have it professionally chip timed, so you could get a really good speed record here for running on this nice flat trail for your 5K or 10K time if you'd like to do that. But it's also open to anyone who wants to stroll mm-hmm. as well. And that we've always had a great group of people that going out just to enjoy the day. And with the weather looking like it's going to be 80 and sunny, it looks like it'll be a great time to take a walk.
Yeah, and it's a morning run. So the run's pretty much over before it starts really heating up.
That's right.
And then there's a great party afterwards.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, party the night before, party after. Yeah. And Susie, you talked about registering. Yep, you can still go online and sign up. That's probably the easiest way. But for any last minute folks, you can also register at the Port Authority the night before. Or if you've already registered, you can pick up your packet there to avoid having to wait in line at all at the run. And then you can also, for all those very last-minute folks, you can register the day of until about 8:30 at the run.
The very last. Don't encourage the very last-minute
folks. No, we don't.
I tend to be one of those.
Right.
Oh, so you're thinking you might run it, Chris.
Well, I always register.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm usually taking pictures for, I don't know, posterity for the
right,
group to
right.
use as well.
It's so great to use those. Yeah.
I will say that I've noticed that at the starting line, of course, you have the competitive runners.
Right.
Who are running for time, so they want to be up near the front. But you also have a group of kids.
The kids always want to be in front. They don't necessarily end in front.
They don't end in front, but they're there for taking off out of the gate.
Great photo op. But this year we are changing it just a bit. We're tweaking it so that the 10K folks will start first. We'll do a little bit of a staggered run. They'll just get a little bit, about 7 minutes start ahead of us.
Okay.
And then so they can really let themselves fly if they want, because most of the kids do the 5K and then they can be ready to go after that.
Yeah.
I love the beginning of a race like that. All the competitive runners are like checking their watches and adjusting their whatever and taking that last sip of water and just ready to go.
Yeah.
Waiting for the buzzer, whatever you're going to have.
So Nancy, we're about to end this segment here. We're going to go into a song in just a second. Any last words you want to give people?
Yes. Well, two things. One, you know, registration for the fun run is just $25 before, which is right now if you do it online at www.pobtrail.org, or it's $30 on the race day. But also wanted to let you know that kids 12 and under are free. So we've always done that to make sure lots of kids get out there. You mentioned having those kids there. Yeah. So bring your kids for sure. And I also wanted to thank all so many of our sponsors. The Kalispell Tribe of Indians are our lead sponsor this year. We also want to thank this radio station is one of our sponsors, KRFY. We've had a whole slew of folks like Keoki has helped print our beautiful brochures. Berg and McLaughlin, Fergoso, Finn and McDonald, Boyle, Platy and Key. Sandpoint Furniture, Pine Street Bakery, different organizations here like Scotchman Peaks Wilderness and Lake Pondere Waterkeeper, as well as Evergreen Realty has been a steady sponsor every year and one of our larger sponsors. We really appreciate everyone. And I'm not mentioning everyone here, but they are on our poster and they're on our brochure, and we just really want to thank them.
Okay, so that's the Bay Trail Fun Run. It's coming Sunday. Everybody's invited. You don't have to run it. You can walk it, and it's a beautiful walk. As well.
That's right.
It's becoming one of the highlights of the beginning of our summer.
That's right. Kicks off the summer. Celebrate your trails, have a great time, and support what you love. Yeah. If you go out there and walk that trail, bring your dog down there, bring your parents, kids down there, please come out on Sunday and help support us.
Nancy, thank you so much for coming in and informing us about the upcoming event on Sunday, the Bay Trail Fun Run, and about all the work that Idaho Conservation League is doing.
All right,
good job.
Thanks for having us.
And so we're going to pause now for a song. This is Chariots of Fire.
It's another running song.
That's
right
another
on.
Running song. We're staying with the theme here. And we'll be back in 3 minutes and 31 seconds.
And that was Chariots of Fire by Vangelis, an iconic song about running. And we were just in the studios with Nancy Dooley from Idaho Conservation League talking about this coming Sunday's Bay Trail Fun Run, and you can find out more about that at idahoconservationleague.com. And let's look at the entertainment and events calendar, Chris. I think there's some things going on this weekend besides the Bay Trail Fun Run on Sunday morning.
Yeah, a ton of things, as usual in our town.
Yeah, we have Sandpoint Arbor Day celebration is coming up Saturday, June 6th from 9 to 1 p.m. at Lakeview Park next to the museum. And the event includes an Arbor Day ceremony, native plant sale, and bake sale. Also happening at the same time is the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, Arboretum, and Bonner County Historical Society open house. Now that's a mouthful. So you can take a tour and check out these great community resources. Again, that's Saturday, June 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Lakeview Park. And that's at 611 South Ella. This is sponsored by the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, Sandpoint Parks and Recreation, and the Sandpoint Tree Committee. And you can go to nativeplantsociety.org to find out more.
And actually, good combo event with that is the Sandpoint Farmers Market. It happens every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Farman Park. What's going on at the Farmers Market? You've been, haven't you, Susie?
I have. Yeah. Lots of greens. Radishes, onions,
starts,
plant starts. Mm-hmm. There was one person there that had 41 varieties of tomatoes.
No
so
kidding.
Anything you could want, cherry tomatoes, red, yellow cherry tomatoes, all the different heirloom
varieties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're also open on Wednesdays from, let's see, what are their Wednesday times?
It's, I believe, 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Wednesday and on Saturday from 9 to 1. And it's you think about treasures in our community. I think the farmers market is a treasure. They always have great local music. And
there's lots of great stuff to eat. And then now there's the food court right there as well. They're now closing off a block of Oak Street. So you get that kind of, you know, wander the streets feel. So it's the farmer's market is really a cool
thing. Right, arts and crafts. You can always buy a gift there, last minute gift for someone. Also, I wanted to mention coming up on June this is a KRFY thing, coming up on June 12th and 13th, that's a Friday and Saturday, it's the KRFY annual membership drive. We'll be broadcasting live from 9 to 9 daily, Chris, from the former Coldwater Creek storefront, that's called the Burned Building, that's at 311 First Street, and we're going to be broadcasting live, so right. I hope you come down and help us. Because that's a lot of broadcasting live.
It's a lot of broadcasting. But you'll be playing music all day long.
Yep.
You just kind of pick some special songs to go with the membership drive. And you're inviting people to come in and say hello. Is there a small chance that they might get to say hello over the air?
There is. And if they make a donation or renew their membership or become a new member, they can pick a song. If we have it, they can announce that song and dedicate it to someone special. Also, we're going to have live bands every other hour. Every other hour is kind of a little interview time. We also want to invite all of our underwriters, our valued underwriters, to come in and talk about the reason your business or organization supports KRFY Community Radio for North Idaho. It's another one of those treasures, I think. Of course, I do.
It's a recent treasure, though. This radio station's been around for how many years now? For
about 3 to 4.
It's been a great asset to the community, I think, of course. I will come by, okay. I'm sure, during the membership drive. Now, that's June 11th and 12th, correct?
It's actually Friday and Saturday, June 12th and 13th, from 9 to 9 daily at the former Coldwater Creek storefront. And everyone knows where that was, but streetwise,
right down on First,
311 First Avenue. And we're going to be doors open, music playing, interviews happening. Just we'll have places for people to sit and listen to the music and or come in and get on the radio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the first time.
Let's talk to our citizens.
This is the first time to do this type of thing, right?
Exactly. We've always done it upstairs and nobody knows we're here. Mm-hmm. And this time we're going to be right front and center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
So other things going on this week. As usual, there's about 30 events. You can get the detailed community events calendar off our website, krfy.org, or from sandpointonline.com. Sandpoint Online provides the calendars. Some of the things happening tonight is First Tuesday at iCars. So it's a monthly music event that starts at 7 p.m. And then at McDuff's, it's Trivia Night. That's a very popular event. It goes from 7 to 9 p.m. There's prizes and, of course, bragging rights if you manage to win the trivia contests. Tomorrow, as you mentioned, there's the Sandpoint Farmers Market from 3 to 6 p.m. in Farm and Park. That's the Wednesday edition of that. And then McDuff's also on Wednesday has their bingo night. That's at 6:30 p.m. It's free. And that's at the Beer Hall, which is their new location on 220 Cedar Street.
Another thing, I think this sounds interesting, on Thursday night, John Roskelly, Paddling the Columbia. Lake Ponderay Waterkeeper and McDuff's are hosting a presentation of John's John Roskelly at 6:30 in the McDuff's Beer Hall at 220 Cedar Street. So after paddling 1,200 miles of the Columbia River from source to sea, Roskelly published Paddling the Columbia. And I think it sounds interesting. You can sign up. This is Lake Ponderay Waterkeeper that's kind of co-hosting this. And you can call 597-7188 to find out more.
And John Roskelly actually is better known as a world-class mountain climber. And he's climbed Everest, well, at least once, but I know he's been on Everest several times. He's had a bunch of first ascents in the Himalayas. He's really an interesting guy. I had the opportunity to interview him many years ago. He's been a climber in these mountains around here, in the Selkirks and the Cabinets, for many years as well. It's kind of his training grounds for going out and doing those world-class climbs.
That John Roskelly?
That's the same John Roskelly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, turned into a paddler, did the Columbia.
Well, I'm sure he's an interesting speaker. It's going to be fun.
Sure. Other events, there's, of course, a ton going on. Also on Thursday, it's open mic night with Scott Reed at Monarch Mountain Coffee. That's from 6 to 9 p.m. Everyone's invited to that. It is free, of course.
It's a good chance to get up there and sing your song.
That's right.
That song that you've been singing in the bathroom all these years in the shower. Time to bring it out to the Monarch Mountain Coffee with Scott Reed and the open mic.
I think you could also probably do a poem, too.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're not a singer.
Yeah.
Then on Thursday, and then again on Friday. The Panda Theater is going to be showing Far From the Maddening Crowd. That's at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday and Friday. There's also a 3 p.m. matinee on Sunday for that. You can get more information about that at panda.org.
A lot going on, and I just really appreciate all our listeners for tuning in to the KRFY Morning Show. And Chris, it's been a pleasure to sit here and chat with you this morning, and Nancy, about the Bay Trail Fun Run that's this Sunday. So
that's right. And so what's coming up next week?
For us? Next week we're kind of doing a precursor shows. You're going to be sitting here with Jack on Tuesday.
That's right. You're going to be gone, so my co-host is going to be Jack, and he normally does the Thursday show.
Right. Yeah. And Jim and I'll do the Thursday show. Yeah. And we're going to, on Tuesday, you're going to have some of the board members from KRFY find out why this is a treasure to them.
And then on Thursday, we're going to have
some of our broadcasters.
Some of our broadcasters.
So you could come back and talk to us. We'll interview you. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Why am I doing this?
Anyways, I hope everyone has a beautiful day.
Yes, I do too. And thank you for listening. We're going to go out with a song by Paul McCartney, My Love.